One of the fun parts for me of Facebook and social media is the pictures that get shared. And especially when folks choose to share old pictures from time far back, from their kids when they were little, sometimes even some of us when we were little. Turns out somewhere along the way, folks have made Throwback Thursday a real thing, and people put old pictures up as a reminder of days gone by, and Mother's and Father's Day weekends become big times to find old pictures, to put up pictures of a mother or a father. Some of y'all, I've seen pictures from times even some of you were small with your dad, your mom. And you look back at the old pictures and you see cars that look very different than they do now, homes that sometimes look different, different things, different clothing, and you realize a lot's changed through the years. Now, change can be good and it can be tough. And the world is changing in a lot of ways, some for good, some not for good. The fact of the matter is that change is stressful, and some of us aren't real good at change. We like things to stay the same. And even the good changes that we see are beneficial often are stressful as well. Changing into new schools, moving to a new place, even things, new jobs, new opportunities, even the good things that bring change, bring with them a stress of not knowing exactly what you're facing. In Deuteronomy, in these early chapters, Israel is facing transition. They have been in the wilderness for 40 years. They've been wandering. They've been going from here to there. They've had their share of struggles, their challenges, times when they've trusted God and times where they didn't, times where God provided and times when they weren't so sure God was still with them. And they were approaching the promised land, the land of milk and honey, and in these early chapters of Deuteronomy, Moses is preparing them, giving them instructions for what they'll need to remember as they transition into the promised land. Chapter 5 of Deuteronomy tells the people again the Ten Commandments. And the section we read from chapter 6 begins with a reminder of the importance of the law, a reminder to the people as they're about to go into a new country, a new land that will be theirs, that they're to remember the things that God has taught them. And Moses is trying to prepare them for what they're going to deal with. They've faced their challenges in the wilderness. They've been looking forward to the new day. They're about to have the question answered positively, are we there yet? And it's almost time. And yet Moses understands that moving into their new land, moving into a new beginning, brings new challenges. They've seen challenges, they've seen threats, and Moses seems to be focused on one particular threat that concerns him more than the others. Through this section of Deuteronomy, Moses isn't warning them about enemies and foreigners and outsiders. Moses is mostly concerned about when they get into the promised land, when they begin to settle and experience prosperity, whether they're going to remember their commitment to God. Moses seems to understand that the biggest threat to the faithfulness of God's people is not that which is outside, but that which is within us, and so easily loses focus when things are going well. In the tough times, we call out for God's help, but in the good times, we begin to feel like we got things under control. And so he wants them to be aware that they're about to start their new land, the promised land, and they can't afford to lose focus on the God who has brought them there. And the centerpiece of this section that we read this morning is verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. It's one of the best known passages in the Old Testament. It was one that Jesus himself looked to when he was asked to summarize the law. He said, he referred to this passage, "The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." He also added, "And love your neighbor as yourself," and said, "The law hangs on those two commandments." In this statement, called the Shema, which is the Hebrew word meaning hear, the first word of these verses, they're being reminded what it means to be a person of God, what it means for Israel to be the people of God, that God is to be the center focus of their lives. For us as God's children, God is to be the center of our lives, the focus of our lives, not just part of our life, not somebody we turn to when it's convenient or we have a need, but the all-encompassing nature of this commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, is a call to total commitment to God, to push aside anything that distracts us from serving God, loving God, being who God calls us to be. And the verses that follow are not as often quoted or read, but are also important for us to understand what it means to be a community of faith. For having talked about how he wants his people to be wholeheartedly committed to God, he recognizes that it's important for those who have faith, who are committed to God, to teach this message to the next generation, to teach this message to the people who are watching them live, to their neighbors, to their friends, to those who are watching to see if this God they profess is true. And so having told us to serve God with all we've got, he begins to talk about what else a faithful community will do. Speaking of the law, he says, "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Now, these are fairly specific instructions. Teaching the faith to children, to the next generation, to the people around us, is something that doesn't just happen at church a few hours a week. It's a day-by-day commitment we all make to live our faith, to speak our faith, to teach our faith to those in our lives, to those we're raising, to those that we love. God's Word is not something we just talk about in the walls of a church, but it's to be part of our daily conversations, talking about where God's at work in our lives, sharing, to use Bible school language, sharing God sightings with our fellow believers and with others, as a way of sharing testimony of the way God is at work. Talking and telling others of what God has done and what Scripture teaches us about the nature of God. And Moses goes on to lay out some things that the Jewish people put into practice, literally writing Scripture on door frames, putting Scripture in what they called mezuzahs, which were small little containers that could be in a variety of shapes and materials. But each one had a scroll within it that had Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, and 11, 13 through 21 on one side, and the word Shaddai, which means Almighty, on the other. And it was not uncommon for faithful Jews to take the mezuzah and hang it in the top third of their door frame. Some even hung them on every door in the house as a way of reminding folks as they went through the house, wherever they looked, they saw this reminder of the law of God. Some of us have cross stitches or pictures or other things with Scripture verses hanging on our walls. On all of these, reminders are important, but even more important is letting God's Word sink into us, letting it shape the way we think, letting it shape the way we see others, letting it shape the way we teach and the way we become community. And spoken here in Deuteronomy 6, This is a reminder to families, to fathers and mothers. Teach the law of God to your children. Teach the next generation. Make sure folks growing up have the opportunity to hear that God loves them and has a plan for their lives. But for the people of Israel, there was a strong sense of community, and this was not just a message spoken to parents. It was spoken to the community as a whole. Our culture tells us religion is private, and the Scripture tells us it is God's Word that we're to share with one another and to teach to those we're raising, to those around us, to those who are watching us live. And this, I think, for the church these days, is a tremendous and important responsibility. Some of you probably remember days when you might have Bible study classes at school, where you might have prayers spoken at school. I often hear folks saying, if we could only. The fact of the matter is, odds are good that won't be the direction we go. But the early Christians didn't have that. The book of Acts grew without it being taught anywhere except in the family and in the community of faith. We can't assume it's the job of those outside the church to pass on the faith. It's our call as parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, church members, committed to shaping the lives of those who are part of this family, showing them what faithfulness looks like, showing them what compassion looks like, modeling a community of faith that feels like a big family so that people growing up in our midst understand, I've been loved by this group of people who loved me like God does. And so some of you sitting there going, well, my kids are grown. You're still important to fulfill this calling. I didn't have kids. You're still part of the community of faith. We all have opportunities to shape and teach children, young people, young adults, even our peers around us in the ways and teachings of God. In fact, in our world, where many families are falling apart. In our world, where many kids and young people are growing up without adequate role models, the responsibility for us to reach out, to include, to teach, I think is even greater. A father tells of an experience he had. He had three boys, and at the time that this happened, they were four boys, 9, 8, 6, and 4. He loved doing stuff with his boys. They often went to movies, to bowling, to putt-putt. They went to grandparents. They just went to the park. He loved going and hanging out with his boys, doing fun things, spending time together. One particular time, it was December, and he'd set up a time to spend with his boys to go to a movie, and his oldest one said, Dad, can we bring my friend along? Now, this dad cherished his time with his boys. He wasn't really all that excited about having the friend come along on family time. But they went to the movie. He just did the best he could to make the most of it. But when they got home, he pulled his son aside and told him, I wish you had just let that be us. That was our family time. And his son looked back at him and said, but Dad, I wanted Jimmy to come because his dad never takes him any place or does fun things with him. I wanted him to have some of our fun too. We live in a world where we have opportunities to welcome others into the joy and the gift of life, to be a community of faith that allows others to see in us God's grace, to experience what it means to be family. And in whatever role you think you can play, God gives you opportunities to help shape the lives of those around you. Children or grandchildren, nephews or nieces, children at church. It's powerful when we live out what it means to be a community where everyone feels like they belong. I remember in my church in Atlanta, we had one of the things we did for several Operation Inasmuch is have some folks from the Developmental Disability Ministry come and spend Inasmuch with us. They helped pack some of the bags, and then we threw them a pizza party and played music so they could dance and have fun and play games. These were developmentally disabled adults. And as a result of this, they every so often a carload of these adults would come and worship with us. And it was fascinating. On the Sundays they did, they tended to sit down front. And when we would get to say the Lord's Prayer, one of the gentlemen with various kinds of disabilities would speak loudly and not in sync with everybody else. And so everybody else is speaking, and always about half a beat slow, you heard this voice that wasn't perfectly clear but was praying the Lord's Prayer with every ounce of his being. And it made me smile. Not every voice was right on the beat together, but I was blessed by hearing the genuineness of his prayer joining with the whole community and helping me remember every voice matters, every person belongs, and what better place should everyone find a place of knowing they are loved and fit in. This is the place where we don't all see things the same way, we don't all have the same gifts, we may not all be on the same beat. But what a gift it is when we can be a community of faith that allows our children, our young people, our neighbors, our friends to discover what it means to be in a safe place where everyone is loved by God. Some of you get the magazine Nurturing Faith. It used to be called Baptist Today, and I almost never read something out of a magazine. If you get this, there's actually a nice article about Hope House that there are copies outside the hospitality room. Some of you probably read this, which is another reason I hesitate to read this, but Tony Vincent is a minister in South Carolina, and he wrote an article talking about Mrs. Mildred, who died in her 80s and was one of those adults in his church growing up who taught him in Sunday school, who loved him, who made him feel special. And I want to read some of these words because this description of what it means to be part of a church family, and the title of it is The Gifts of Raising and Being Church Kids, for me helps me think about what it means to practice Deuteronomy 6. He talks about going to see Mrs. Mildred before she died, being part of her funeral, being family, and being a church kid. And here's his reflections on being a church kid. When I walked in the door, people knew my name and I knew them. I was loved, encouraged, chastened at times, and guided into a life of faith by a myriad of people. As I said at Mildred's funeral, I don't recall a single lesson from mission friends or the particulars of many events at church, but I remember Mildred baking my dad's favorite coconut cake for his birthday and how she taught me to shuck corn on her back steps. I remember Mrs. Grace's kind voice as we sang the books of the Bible. I remember Mr. Jim talking about baseball with me during my short-lived career as a little leaguer. His advice, take up golf, son. Then he gave me my first putter. Today I see this story continuing. When our 3-year-old twins, Caroline and Carter, run, through the doors of our church, they are met with loving smiles and encouragement. They already know many people in the church by name and beyond their nursery caregivers and their friends. They wake up most mornings asking, is this a school day or a church day? While loving teachers and playground time with their friends create a safe space to grow at preschool, they smile eagerly on days when we tell them, today is a church day. They know they will be deeply loved and valued and that people will want to be with them as they grow from squirmy, sometimes irreverent kids into, well, squirmy, sometimes irreverent adults. He goes on. But you hear the picture, don't you? To be a community of faith where the young children are excited when it's a church day, where all ages can walk in knowing people know my name, believe in me, value me, and want to teach me what God has done in their lives. One of the things I value about this church and churches like this one is being an intergenerational congregation where our young kids get to know other parent figures, grandparent figures, aunts and uncles. When I see older adults knowing and speaking to children, when I see generations building connections so that the body of Christ is strengthened and everyone knows that they matter. And yet, we do that well, but we can continue to do better. We can continue to renew our commitment to be responsible for each other, for the children of others, for the youth of others. And there's a variety of ways to be involved. You may not have heard, but Bible school is coming up. And there's always opportunities to volunteer. There's always need for folks to volunteer in extended session, in nursery, in Sunday school. There's opportunities to be involved in a variety of ways, supporting our youth, which you do so well, and praying for them as we go to camp this week. Being involved in formal ways, but also looking to know names, to be an encourager, to build up those not just who sit around you, but who are part of this family of faith. May all who come through these doors sense here a place that's safe, that's loving, and where we know we matter, and where we will be taught to love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our strength. May each of us commit ourselves to loving God, to modeling faithfulness, and to teaching those who watch us how they too can grow in faith. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for the gift of being part of a church family. We're not perfect. We don't all see things the same way. We don't all do things the same way. But we are family together. Help us to love others, to be grace-filled, to be compassionate. Help us to forgive as we have been forgiven. And help us to renew our commitment to talking about, teaching, and sharing our love and our faith with those who come through this congregation and those we encounter day by day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.